Welcome to the Digital Marketing Insights Podcast, brought to you by Brightside Digital.
Hi everyone, welcome to the show. I'm delighted to say we have Amy today, who's a senior SEO account manager. Amy, how are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. How are you? Thanks for having me on the show.
Very welcome. And yeah, thanks so much for doing the show. Amy, can we start off by you telling our audience a little bit about yourself and your career to date, please?
Yeah, sure. So I've been in SEO digital marketing for the best part of about 16 years now. It started many, many moons ago when I was a young teen. I had a little blog going and a jewelry company at the time. And generally loved seeing the impact changes I was doing, having a website which would increase sales. So obviously I had my little business, I wanted it to do really well. It was on such a small scale, sort of 10-page website, nothing really fancy about it. But I like seeing results. I didn't have any money to spend, so paid media wasn't an option for me back then. So SEO was. At the time, I was working in advertising. This is my like side project. But around that time is when we had the recession. So I was months unemployed trying to get work. I think it was about eight, nine months looking for work. Nothing was coming up. So all my focus was going into my little jewelry business and my blog. So seeing the reward that was coming was spending a few hours a day on making tweaks on my website, writing content, and changing URL structure and stuff like that really got me interested and excited of seeing all the data that's coming back from that. So eventually, after the recession, a role did become available within a jewelry company. And that was for within the marketing team. And then from there, I really pushed with my SEO and really grew my love for it there, I think. And then over the years, I worked for some large brands. I continued some of those relationships. Those thrived, and then decided about 9 years ago to go freelance. So it's 9 years freelance, which was incredible. I managed to build some really good relationships, worked across a variety of brands and industries, and had so many learning curves, both personally and professionally, on how to deal with, I guess, SEO and industry changes, because we all know how Google loves to throw an update out there. But then if we fast forward to, I'm sure everyone's talking about how COVID changed everything we know, so having everything change, well, sort of overnight, from face-to-face meetings to then going remote, setting up things with Zoom, team calls, Google Meets, just changed the working structure. And then within COVID and coming out of COVID, I had my son. And the two things combined really, whilst it opened up so many opportunities and becoming a mother was the most amazing thing, it really highlighted just how isolated I was feeling. So when I decided to go back to work, I thought I would join an agency. And honestly, luck was truly on my side when I found the agency I'm at now. They are fantastic. They are an incredible agency. They do really amazing work for their clients, and they support charities and really kindly donate 7% of their profits. So it's really nice to be representing a company that does that. And we're so well looked after in our work culture. Even that's with us being fully remote. So now I'm here as their senior SEO account manager. That's sort of where I've been over the last few years.
And what would you see as your main skill set or main area you're working in at the moment, Amy?
So as SEO as a whole, sort of my main skill set is identifying performance or ranking loss and putting plans into place to help recover from this, and trying to give projections of timeframes, because essentially when a website drops in rankings, it can be manual action. It can just be a simple change that someone's done on their website. It's how long is a piece of string in terms of recovery. So it's trying to use past experiences and looking at the bigger picture of what's happening to try and give clients more reassurance than anything. And that everything we're doing now will sort of point them in the right direction. So definitely identifying performance loss is one of my strengths.
And it's a huge area, SEO, and I'm sure you get clients the whole time, and over the years you work with them, and it's how long is a piece of string is the correct way of putting it, because sometimes results can come in, you know, weeks, but a lot of time, it's over several months. How do you navigate a client's expectations or whoever you're working with, your own expectations when it comes to SEO? You're obviously following the right procedures. How do you identify that you're moving the right way and to manage those expectations?
It really helps from yourself. I guess with anything, the more experience you have, the more comfortable you are dealing with clients and helping to help guide their expectations. I know the people who use PPC and paid media, they know they can get results overnight. SEO is not, even if things are going well with SEO, that's not always the case. It can be a couple of weeks, it can be a few months. So generally for minor changes, sort of 1 to 3 months is a good guideline. For anything huge, so a manual action, for example, it can be daunting to hear 6 months to a year to try and recover, but there's a lot that has to go into place, especially if you've had a manual action from Google, or if you've done a migration and you just haven't done a migration correctly, if you haven't done your redirects, if you've pulled over duplicate content or scraped a website, which isn't the best thing to do, it's just an old practice. So things like that, dealing, once you know the size of the project, you can get a good idea of how long this is going to take, changes to implement, and also you need to figure out the client if they've got any holds up with access to their CMS, if anything needs approving, or if they've got chains to go through in their own department, or if they have an external agency that would make those changes. So it's adding on all those factors that could cause any delays. And just so from the offset, everyone's aware of any hurdles you could come across.
Do you know, is there any campaign work that you're really proud of, or can you give me an example of something you made really successful, maybe in the SEO sphere?
I have previously worked with a site that had a manual action. They were a 10,000 page website and they had a manual action after the Google Panda update, and they came to me, it had been I think 6 months and things were getting worse, nothing was recovering. So during that whole time they had a migration, then the update, so the two things combined really just knocked them out of the rankings. So it was that really sitting down and going through every piece of data bit by bit with a really fine tooth comb, having analytics data, historical data, current changes on the website, anything that could have been missed in the migration, really getting it together. And their rankings, everything improved within about 9.5 months. It was under a year. But just seeing that and learning how the changes can happen, how long they can take. And that's what really led me to keeping real expectations and not over-promising and under-delivering, because I think that can happen sometimes, especially if you become really comfortable with your projects. You might think, I've done this before, I'll quote this amount of time, but you really need to be treating each client individually and just seeing that all their needs are met.
Really well said. And in terms of softwares, Amy, is there any particular softwares that you use that you swear by that you could recommend to listeners?
So I would definitely recommend SEMrush and Ahrefs. I think they're just golden. It used to be Moz, but I've just drifted away from that over the years. So by all means, throw Moz in there. Also got Google's Keyword Planner tool as well. And Google Trends, which is nice to see that they've updated that now, so we can get live trend data as well as historic. So we still have the historic data as well to dig into. But that's really nice seeing what current trends are happening in the moment. So it's a really good addition to see. In terms of, well, I like to be quite nosy. So when I have a new client come and we do a competitive analysis, it's definitely a highlight because there's so many opportunities clients could be missing and it's just nice to show them. So for that, I like to use a combination of SEMrush and SpyFu for that. SpyFu is really good for competitive analysis.
SEO does seem to be fundamentally a good foundation for any business online, but then it's the flip of whether there's keywords in the industry or if it's branded terms from the off, and you're going to have to build a brand because, you know, people aren't really searching those keywords in that industry. Is there anywhere where you go daily or weekly or monthly for new insights and new information?
So for new information, Search Engine Journal is always up there. LinkedIn as well. I really love going on to Analytics Mania. Julius there, he's fantastic, and also his YouTube videos are incredible. And then one of the main things is just talking internally with my team. They're fantastic, so we just bounce off each other. We put any issues we're having, either personally with, like, internally with work, or having discussions of changes that are happening within the industry. We just have open discussions and just pass off our levels of expertise.
And is there anywhere you're looking to upskill in this space a little bit more at the moment?
I think upskilling at the moment would pull more into analytics. So definitely with Google releasing GA4, we've had a good amount of time now to go through and look at how the new framework's been set up. But we now have clients potentially panicking that UA is going to be turned off in July. So it's just reassuring clients and getting our heads around everything that's changed, because a lot did change. And as fantastic as it is, the amount of data we can now have and what we can do with that data, being used to one platform for so long in terms of UA and then it's switching, I think for everyone was a bit of a shake up. So it's been nice to have a few months before it goes live just to get to grips with it, but definitely upskilling and learning more about GA4 and how to really drill down the data and make it useful for ourselves and clients.
Like, GA4 is such a hot area, and it's going to be for the next 3 months especially, and probably just after the periods. But is there anything that you see advantage-wise that makes business owners that might be listening to this going, oh, I need to check this out, who might have GA4 hooked up but they're not looking at it? Is there any areas that have really impressed you?
So the free flow reports in the explore section in GA4, I really like spending my time in there, because configuring the landing pages that they've given us and pulling cards in, whilst that's great, sometimes it gets a bit confusing to those who aren't familiar with it. So a good place to send people is the explore section, where they can build their own reports. And then I'd always recommend downloading the PDF version, because it has in the top right the link you can click straight back into that report anytime. And so that's really handy to have, and they can share that amongst their team, or you can share it with your client. It just makes a bit of a more smoother transition moving into GA4 from UA, especially if that's what they're used to. I've had a few clients over time go, how do I make this look like UA? I'm like, oh, I hate to break it to you.
Yeah.
We can make it look as similar, but it will never look the same. So it's nice to slowly ease clients into it, so that's not overwhelming when it fully launches.
I suppose one of the big things with GA4 as well is the GDPR area, and the fact that this is more of an enhancement to be compatible with the data that is being given. You know, Apple obviously did their recent rollouts in the last 6 months of, you know, giving everyone the rights to privacy on apps and the usage on their products, and that's obviously had a kick-on effect to Google. But I think that's going to be the hard thing from a client's point of view to explain to business owners, that their data is now, there's going to be less visibility. I can't see any outcome of GA4 properly rolling out, and the data itself, you're going to have to request and, you know, make sure your site's properly cookie to get the data in the first place, correct? So that's definitely going to be a challenge.
Yeah, for sure. I've had a client who, we were having an issue with one of the cookies, the plugins. It was completely cancelling out any iOS traffic, which we were doing pause start and GTM, just making the tag stop, seeing if we could collect data. Data would recover within 24 hours and it would be consistent for a week. And then we would turn the tag back on and it would crash again. So we had that, and figuring that out was a bit of a hurdle. But you're right, it's just explaining to clients they might not be able to see all of the data they were before. And what makes that a little bit difficult is when you're originally setting up GA4 versus UA and you're trying to explain there might be a traffic discrepancy. This adds to that discrepancy, but there might not actually be a problem with the install of GA4. It's just that the new cookie and GDPR is playing into that loss of data, essentially, that they can't see. Although it's being collected in the back end of GA4, we just don't see it.
Yeah, which is, again, very hard to explain and to highlight. And is there anything else in the digital industry maybe coming in the future, Amy, that you're really excited about?
Coming up in the future, I guess it's just navigating around AI. It's such a huge topic. Everyone wants to jump on AI to create content. Whilst it's great to have, especially if you're a content writer, if you're having those roadblock moments where you need inspiration for content and you just want to jump on, Ahrefs did a video a few weeks ago focusing on this, where what they said is quite true. Use it for inspiration, but it will need the human touch. It doesn't always make sense. The structure doesn't make sense. Whilst the data you gain, probably information you may not have thought of, when you read these articles, you can pretty much pick up that they are AI written. So it is nice to go through and just sometimes you just want to change paragraph structure, placement, improve just the flow as well. And especially if you've given it the instruction to include keywords, it can get a bit spammy and it makes it sound unnatural, especially in the keyword placement where it puts it in sentences. So definitely amazing, something that's coming up and something we'll probably lean on more going forward, but in its I guess teething stages, definitely use it, get used to the tools, but still rely on yourself to make sure that the data is correct.
Really said. Amy, I could speak to you all day, but unfortunately, lastly, we have one more question for you right now, which is, if you could boil up one personality trait that you have yourself that you could pass on to others, what would it be?
Perseverance.
Perseverance, great answer.
Yeah, I think in life and work, especially SEO, perseverance to make things work and figure things out. It's just one big puzzle, a website, and all these little aspects are just those tiny pieces to make this one big puzzle make sense. And it's even things that just go down to you've got great SEO, but you've got poor web design. And I always believe that SEO and UX should go hand in hand. And also UX in general, I guess if you've got paid media, you're spending that to get people to your site and it's not converting because your website doesn't look great or function properly. It's just so many things. So definitely perseverance would be what I would bottle up.
Amy, thanks so much. And if people want to get in touch with you or see your work or find out more about you, how can they get in touch?
Yeah, sure. The best way would be via LinkedIn, Amy Lynch on LinkedIn. And that, yeah, just put me a message on there.
That's it. Thank you for being on the show, Amy. And thanks everyone for listening.
So glad to be here. Thanks for having me.